What do you do when your world crumbles? Has your world ever crumbled? Maybe you're in the life situation now where you feel like your world is crumbling. Well, our last passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that. And so we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. Perhaps you've been at a place where you felt like, Lord, I can't take any more. Scripture says that the Lord won't put on us any more than we can take. But sometimes we reach that point where we say, God, I don't know how much more I can take. I've been there. I'm sure perhaps you've been there as well. So let's look at this passage in Hebrews. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. By the way, sound guys, you're doing an excellent job back there. Really good job. It says, be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. Once again, and I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe, for our God is a devouring fire. Paul, I'm going to ask if you would to pray for me this morning before I begin. You may be seated. Jeannie, would you get me some more water, please? As we've gone through the book of Hebrews, we find that there are five warnings that he's given us in the book of Hebrews, and this is the fifth one that he gives to us. He says, be careful that you don't refuse to listen to the one who speaks. Who is he talking about? Have any clue? Talking about Jesus Christ, or God, or the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's who he's talking about. And so, he says, be careful. We always need to listen to Jesus. Always need to listen to Jesus. To Jesus. This morning, now, every morning I get up and I say something like, Lord, are we connected? Because I want to make sure I'm connected. I got to church this morning and I was trying to prepare my message and I said something like, Lord, are we connected? And there was silence. That panics me as a preacher. When there's nothing. Because if I were to stand up here without the Lord, then I may as well not be standing up here. And I asked the Lord, Lord, do you even want me to preach today? There have been times He's told me no. And I haven't preached. And so if I've got to, I have to be able to connect to the Lord. I have to be able to hear Him. I have to be able to listen to Him before I can give to you. I'd been preparing a message all week. And yet, I couldn't deliver it without hearing from the Lord. He says, be careful that you don't refuse to listen to the one who speaks. Now, when I can't hear the Lord, there are certain things I need to do to make sure there's not any blocks in my way in order to hear Him. Because I want you to understand, the Lord wants to guide you in every step you take. The Lord wants to guide you. How many of you have some questions that maybe some things that are coming your way, you don't know what to do about it? Any of you here today? Okay, a few of you. Do you think the Lord knows what to do about it? And do you think that if we had ears to hear, that He could show you what to do? Do you think He loves you that much? I know He does. So if you don't believe this, believe me. He loves you enough. He loves you enough to be able to guide you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct your steps. So what do I do when I can't hear? The first thing I do is I check and see if there's any sin in my life that I need to confess. Is there any known sin that I need to repent of and have forgiveness for? That's the first thing I did. After I do that, I then go before the Lord and I command every spirit, ears and mouths to be closed and not to interfere in any way. The enemy likes to interfere. Have you ever had confusion? Where do you think that's from? Scripture says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace unto all the churches of the saints. So if you have confusion, that's not coming from God. Okay? So, if I have confusion, I'm coming before the Father and I'm saying, Lord, take this confusion out of my life. Or I'm saying, in the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of confusion to go to the feet of Jesus and don't return. Okay? Because I want my ears to hear. The Lord has a message that He wants to give me. He wants to give me direction. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and look at a couple of those passages of Scripture where He wants to give us direction in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your what? But in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Most of the time, the problem I have, and possibly the problem you have, is that we get confused because we're leaning on our own understanding. We're doing what we think is best rather than listening to the Lord and following Him. And He knows what's best. Scripture says that His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. As great as the heavens are above the earth are His thoughts and our thoughts. So, whatever conclusion you come to by your most brilliant intellect, it's not going to match what the Lord has for you. Okay? Because His thinking is a whole lot better than your thinking. His ways are a whole lot better than your ways. So if you can figure it out, it's probably not from God. So what the Lord wants us to do is acknowledge Him. He wants to stand in His presence. He wants us to listen, get a word from Him, then He wants us to obey. He wants us to follow. He wants us to do what He says. Now, you can say, well, I heard from the Lord, but I ain't doing what He's saying. Well, good luck with that. The Lord wants to direct your path. There's another passage of Scripture. We find it in James chapter 1, 5. And this is one I lean on a lot. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. Well, I better read it in this translation. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So if you need wisdom, what do you do? Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Lord, what do I do about this? You know, the most difficult part is not asking. The most difficult part is waiting for an answer. We have to be in a good place to do that. Another passage of Scripture. So, every one of us needs guidance. Every one of us. And we need supernatural guidance. One of the things that I've discovered is this. Not praying for instruction stunts growth. Not praying for instruction stunts growth. Also, a little disobedience stunts growth. A little disobedience stunts growth. I want to grow up to be fully mature in Christ. That's my goal. And that's my goal for this church, that we grow up to be fully mature in Christ. But if we're not praying and we're not listening, then we need to get into a place where we can pray and we can listen. Have you ever heard of Susanna Wesley? Susanna Wesley was the father of John and Charles Wesley, who started the Methodist Church, and 17 other children. She had 19 children. You think you've got problems with two? She had 19 children. Where in the world do you go to find a quiet place when you have 19 children? That's exactly what she would do. She would take her apron and she would cover her head. And when she covered her head, her children knew, do not enter this place. She was having a quiet time with the Lord. She would pray, she would pray, she would pray, then she would take her apron off and she'd get about her other work. Somehow, we can find a quiet place to get alone with the Lord. Another passage of Scripture is this. John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, who is that? The Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. That's the one that Jesus sent after He was telling His disciples, listen, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority. But whatever He hears, I'm going to say from the Father, He will speak to you and He will tell you of things to come. One of the reasons the Holy Spirit was sent to you and all of those who have received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior has the Holy Spirit in their life. And one of the reasons He was given to you is so that He could guide you into all truth. Now, when you read God's Word, there's truth in God's Word. But there are some things that God's Word does not answer. When I was thinking about marrying Cynthia, I read God's word and her name did not come up in Scripture. I needed to know truth. There are some things that you need to know about a job, you need to know about other things, and God will lead you into all truth. Now, sometimes the Lord allows people to speak into your life. And when they speak into your life, you say, whoa, I understand that. That's from the Lord. Man, that just registers peace in my heart. I know now what I ought to do. God sometimes allows people to speak to you about those issues that you're facing. The third thing. The third thing. There you go. What I do. So first thing I do is I confess every sin, and I command every spirit that's not of God to leave. The third one is to pray in the Spirit. And whatever that means to you, that's what you do. Some people have a prayer language, and they call that praying in the Spirit. By all means, use that. Some people pray in the Spirit in an English language, and that's okay. Whatever language you have, you use that for the glory of God. But pray in the Spirit and allow God to hear you pray and then listen for His prayer. Another thing I would encourage you to do is read His Word. Many times God speaks through His Word to your heart. And you know when you read it, man, that's exactly what I needed at the time. And the last and final thing, however, this doesn't have to be in this order. The last thing is give thanksgiving and worship to the Lord. We found that in verse 29 or 28. It says, since receiving in the kingdom, when we're receiving, I'm going to slow down. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe. Listen, did you know that Jesus wants to give you hope? And He wants to give you love? He wants to protect you. He wants to guide you, strengthen you, save you, make you whole. He wants to comfort you. He wants to give you peace, joy, and abundant life. He wants to remove your guilt, shame, and all regret. Why would anyone not want to hear Jesus? Why would anyone not want to listen to Him? Here's the deal. If we forfeit, if we refuse to listen to the one who speaks, if we refuse to listen to Jesus, then we forfeit all of the things that I just mentioned. We forfeit all of the things we just mentioned. And I know, here's some of you maybe here today, and you know you're a child of God, and you say, oh man, I don't know that I've ever heard from the Holy Spirit. I don't know that I've ever received instruction from Him. And you know God speaks to different people in different ways. Some people get a picture in their head. Some people dream dreams. For me, a thought comes into my head. I don't see any pictures. I wish I did. I don't have a lot of dreams. But what I do is thoughts come in my head. So I'll be praying. And then don't hear anything. And then maybe throughout the day, a thought will come into my head. And I say, huh, that sounds like an answer to the prayer I prayed this morning about this situation. Just a thought. Scripture says that we need to take captive every thought and judge it to see it's from God or not. Okay? So take captive every thought. And here's what I believe. I think that God speaks to you more than you know. Cynthia's been praying about some things, and here in the last few weeks, I mean, as she shared last week, the songs have just been coming into her head about things that she's been praying for years. And God is finally answering. And she knows, and I know, that those songs are from the Lord, because that's not something she just made up. Okay? Sometimes the Lord will speak to you through a song. So, here's what I would say. When your world is shaken, listen well. When your world is shaken, listen well. It might feel like your world is coming to an end. Did you know, how many of you have ever been in one of those places where it felt like your world was shaking? Did you know that that's one of the hardest times to listen? It is for me. Because when everything else is shaking around me, it's hard for me to just zero in and connect. It, because I've got anxiety, I've got fear, I've got stress, I've got worry, I've got all of these things going on, and it's hard to connect during those times. However, that's probably, of all the times of the world that we need to connect, that's when we need to connect. A lot of times, people will panic. And people will bail out. And I would encourage you, don't quit, don't stop. God has an answer for you. He's got an answer for every problem you face. And the worst thing you can do is to bail out and quit. You need to reach out to some Christian brothers and sisters and let them come around you and pray for you. Sometimes, did you know that there's sometimes the Lord does not allow you to get out of a bad place without other people coming around you? Go figure. Why would the Lord give you a church family if you didn't need them? Jack and Bev have been through an earthquake. Their world is shaken. Dan has been through an earthquake. His world has been shaken. Leslie is in an earthquake right now. She's moving to California. Actually, she could use some help this afternoon packing. If you can help out, get in touch with her. But she couldn't find work here, so she found a place in California, in Happy Camp, California, wherever that is. Okay. All right, so she's going to work in the forestry industry, which is a great thing. However, she's going to be away from family. She's going to be away from friends. She's going to be away from everything she knows. Well, we pray that God will. I'm wondering if God is at Happy Camp. You think? I think God may be at Happy Camp too. Okay. Pretty sure he will be there. We'll send him on ahead of you. But we go through life troubles and we go through life's struggles. And sometimes we wonder, God, where are you? God, where are you? Can we just stop right now and pray for Leslie? Father, I thank you for your guiding hand. Lord, You're going to miss Leslie. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege of her being here for a few short months. But Lord, you have something for her. And Lord, she may not see it now. But Lord, I know that you're going to meet her there. God, I pray that you would just encourage her, that you would strengthen her. Lord, you'd help her to find some good friends there. Lord, I pray you'd help her to find a good church. Lord, she's going to be driving down there by herself, and Lord, she needs protection. Lord, you said you would do that, so I'm asking you to send your angels. Prepare the way for her. Keep crazy drivers out of her way. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do with her and through her and in her during this time. Lord, I want to pray for Jack and Beverly. Jack's got surgery this Thursday. And Lord, you've been leading them and guiding them, although it's been a tumultuous season. So Lord, I pray that your hand of mercy would be with them. God, that you would direct the doctors, those who are performing the surgery, all those are involved. And Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory for what you're going to do. Lord, for Dan, I thank you for him. Lord, I thank you that he's here today. God, I pray you continue the healing upon his body and the cancer that he has. Lord, there are others here today that I know are going through earthquakes. Lord, I lift them up to you as well. Thank you for what you're going to do in the midst of this. Give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does the Lord want to do? Whenever. Thank you, Jeannie, for doing that. What is the Lord wanting to do whenever we go through difficult seasons? When we go through earthquakes. He talks about here in this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12 that during Moses' day, there were people, even though the mountain was shaking and everything, people refused to listen to Moses. They refused to listen to the word that was given to Moses by God. And although their world was shaken and they were fearful, they refused to listen. He says, of how greater punishment will there be for those who refuse to listen to Jesus Christ? So there's two things here. One is, I believe God is speaking to those who do not yet know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And he's speaking to them and saying, I love you. I want you in my family. I'm pouring out my mercy and my grace to you. And I'm inviting you to come into my family. But if you refuse, there's some horrible repercussions that's coming your way. And I want you not to have to face those things. I want you to be able to come out of those things. But also he's speaking, I believe, to the believers. Because did you know that believers can sometime tune a deaf ear to the Lord as well? Oh, I don't want to hear that. Because I'd rather do this. I think we're all guilty. But the only reason the Lord is asking you or telling you or commanding you to do this certain thing is because he doesn't want you to have to face the consequences. Because he loves you. One of the reasons that the Lord takes us through difficult seasons is to wake us up. When God spoke to Moses and all the earthquake was going on and the children of Israel were like, oh, freaking out. Why do you think God was doing that? I think he was trying to get their attention. It's like, wake up, wake up, wake up. You're going the wrong direction. Get it together. And sometimes, have you ever been shaken? Have you ever, anybody ever said, wake up? I think that's what the Lord does to us. Wake up! Wake up! I think he's doing that at the church today. Because there are some churches who are just going head over heels in the wrong direction. And God is saying, wake up! Wake up! He's trying to wake us up. Another reason that the Lord gives us a shaking is so that, you remember a few weeks ago I preached on taking things off of you? And I told you how to get things off and how to put things on. Maybe you've got bitterness and anger you need to take off. You've got fear and you've got other things that stick into you and you take them off. Guess what's going to happen if you choose not to take those things off? God's going to rattle your cage till they fall off. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you. So removing things that we're attached to. Luke 22, 31 through 34. Simon, and this is Jesus talking to Peter. This is just before he goes, it's during Easter season, the week just prior. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan had asked to sift each of you like wheat. Satan's asked to shake you. And I'm going to let him. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail, so that when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Here's what happens oftentimes. God shakes us. Because there's things that attach to us that we need to be released from, and he's shaking us, and he shows us those things, and we say, I don't like what I see. But rather than going to the Lord, we run away from him. And he said, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you. Here's what I want you to do. You're going to get sifted. But after you're sifted, and you've repented, come back and strengthen the brethren. Did you know that every one of you, there possibly are some things that are in your life that God wants to sift off you. They come to mind, you get in a situation, and something rises within you, and you say something or do something that is not of God. And you think, man! And God's just showing you something that needs to be sifted. You know what happened to Peter? So when he, after this event, Peter was at the where Jesus was being, he was before the council and they were pronouncing judgment upon him. And this lady comes, or this little girl comes, these guys come and say, hey, weren't you with Jesus? No, not at all. And the rooster crows, you remember the story? I'm not telling it very well. Trying to get finished with it. And after that, Peter just begins weeping. He begins weeping. And I'm thinking, in Peter's heart, there's no way Jesus would even want to be near me. The reason I think that is because when Mary Magdalene sees Jesus at the garden tomb after resurrection, Mary is told by Jesus, go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter that I want to see him. I don't think Peter would have shown up had it not been for that word. Because sometimes we get so ashamed we don't think God will accept us any longer. We have so much guilt that we don't want to approach him. And Jesus is saying, listen, I'm just trying to sift you. I've done things in my life that I say, and man, I'm so ashamed of it. I will never, ever, 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 ever do that again. Yeah, I guarantee it will never happen again. It's not on me anymore. It will never be on my life anymore. The Lord has sifted me in those areas. So here's what Jesus said to Peter. Listen, after the sifting, after you've denied me three times, and after you're so ashamed and so guilty and afraid, all you have to do is repent. All you have to do is say, God, I am so very sorry. Please forgive me. Once you've done that, you've received your healing, then you can help others who've been in the same place or who are going through the same place. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing that God does? He restores. Some of you have been through some horrible things in life, but God's saying to you, rise up, there's others who need your testimony. There's others who can benefit from what you've been through. After you've repented, strengthen the brothers. The Lord just sifts us because He loves us. Not because He hates us, but because He loves us and He wants us to become more like Jesus Christ. He wants those things to come off us. A third reason that we go through these difficult seasons is because the Lord is trying to build faith in us, but also, I didn't put that in the thing. So let me go to my third one, and then we'll get to this one, which is the fourth one. So very quickly, the Lord wants to build faith in us. When we go through difficult times, He wants us to learn to trust Him even in the difficult seasons. It's easy to trust Him when things are going good, right? But what happens when the bottom falls out? What happens when your world is shaken, and what happens when you're crumbling? Are you still going to trust Him? Is your faith going to increase or decrease? The Lord wants to build that in us. And the final thing is, there's punishment. Scripture says, in the final days, the things that you've put your efforts into, your home, your business, your life, everything that you see is going to collapse. I want to read a few passages of Scripture for you. In Isaiah 13:13, he says, I will shake the heavens, the earth will move from its place when the Lord of heaven's armies displays His wrath in the day of His fierce anger. That goes along with Hebrews. In Isaiah 2:19-22, when the Lord rises to shake the earth, His enemies will crawl into holes in the ground. They will hide in caves in the rocks from the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty. While they crawl away into caverns and hide among the jagged rocks and the cliffs, they will try to escape the terror of the Lord and the glory of His majesty as He rises to shake the earth. How many of you have ever been through an earthquake? Was it a pretty severe one? In 2010, I've never been through an earthquake. I've seen the devastation of hurricanes. I've never been through an earthquake. But you probably remember back in 2010, there was a catastrophic 7.0 earthquake that hit the epicenter of in Haiti. And I flew into Haiti not long after that, and maybe you were there at the time, Rick. Of course, that was a few years later, but even the airport, man, it had holes all in the thing. You know, it was just not a good place. But at that time, an estimated 250,000 people died. At least 300,000 people were injured. 5 million people were displaced. Nearly 4,000 schools were damaged or destroyed. And at the time of the quake, 70% of the population lived below the poverty line. Can you imagine how horrendous that may be? I would encourage you to get online and just look up pictures of Haiti after the earthquake. What if these scriptures that I've just read are talking about every tectonic plate on earth begins to shift at the same time. Scripture says the whole earth is going to shake. And people are going to be terrified, but they're not going to seek the Lord. They're going to say, just let the rocks fall on me. There's going to be despair, there's going to be depression, there's going to be fear, there's going to be panic, and yet rather than turning to the Lord, they're just wanting to kill themselves or have something kill them. Man, I'm glad I'm not going to go through that. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord doesn't want any of us to go through that. Revelation chapter 6, 12 through 17. I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. Then the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind. So what I hear, what I understand this to say or to mean is there are demonic spirits in the heavenlies as well as on earth. And when the heavens shake, those spirits are going to fall. Stars fell from the earth like green figs falling from trees shaken by the strong wind. The sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all of the mountains and islands were moved from their places. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, the presidents, the kings, the princes, everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks and the mountains because their houses were gone. They cried to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive? There's coming a day when the Lord's armies will be turned loose in His wrath on the human race because of the atrocities that have been committed on earth, the sinfulness of mankind. There's coming a day when He will no longer wait for man to repent. A time when men's hearts will be so hard against Him that they would rather curse Him and die than turn to Him. I don't like to think that way. I don't like to preach that, because it's not uplifting. It's not upbuilding. It's not building up. But it's the Word. And that's why it's so important that we share Christ with as many people as we possibly can. That's why it's so important that we bring as many people into the kingdom as we possibly can. Because God loves them. Though the earth may be shaken, my trust is in the Lord, my God. Though the mountains be removed, my trust is in the Lord, my God. I want to know where your trust is. Because if you're trusting in things of this earth, one day it's all going to go away. Every bit of it. That two-story house I have, it's going to be flattened. Going to be no more. A bank account, whatever little is in there, going to be gone. Wall Street, gone. I'm glad my trust is not in Wall Street. I'm glad my trust is not in my possessions. My trust is not even in my job. I could get fired tomorrow. I hope not. My trust is in the Lord, my God. What are you putting your trust in? And I would say this. If you're listening to any other voice except the Lord's and following that voice, that's what you're putting your trust in. That's what you're putting your trust in. Lord, help me. Help each of us to trust you and you alone. This morning, I don't know how God has spoken to you. If you're here without Christ, I want to encourage you today, do not leave here without repenting of your sins, inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart. If you need to know more about that, you know what? During an invitation, I'll be up here. Or if you don't want to come up here, make your way back to my office and I'll find you. Okay? Or you talk to my wife, or you talk to Alan, or you talk to Paul, or you talk to Tom, or you talk to some of these others in here. They can show you the way. And today, perhaps, you realize that you've been putting your trust in a lot of other things other than the Lord. Would you this morning get rid of all those false gods and put your trust in Jesus Christ? Father, we come before you today.